evening service, and perhaps that is one of the motivation for having the communion in the evening. I was very much aware of the possibility of fewer people be out, but I think I would prefer to have a service of great significance with a few than to have a service of little significance with many. Not that we wouldn't like to see the many, but perhaps the temptation would be a message like this would not be, because we have the converted here this evening. But that is precisely what I desire. That those who desire to be here will be here. And perhaps the best way to explain it is once every so often you and I need to take our cars in for a tune-up. I had a very rude awakening to this past summer. We were driving our little car and driving it, and we were aware that certain things were wrong with the car, but we were driving with the kind of foolish feeling that perhaps it will get better. I should change that subject to I, not we, because my family wasn't doing that, my daughter nor my wife. My daughter kept saying to me, "Daddy, something is wrong with that car." And because father knew best, he ignored it. And we paid a dear price for it. Because when we were in Oregon in August, we were out visiting my wife's folks. And fortunately, our in-law, Lois's folks, have an answering machine. So on the answering machine, as we got in the house after visiting, my daughter's voice, "Daddy, the car broke down." Here I was 3,700 miles away. My daughter up in Stainer, and I want to say again, a deep sense of gratitude to Bert and others who were there, who helped Heather while we were away. I greatly appreciate it. And to Bob, who was ready to help at a moment's notice. I sincerely appreciate this. But if I am somewhat hesitant tonight, it is because I feel very deeply with sometimes what happens when things are needing repair and we live foolishly thinking they're going to get better if we don't do anything about it. And that's what happened. And tonight we want to do that. I will not ask you to be morbid. I will not ask you to look inside of you to see if anything is wrong per se. But I will ask that we do some self-examination this evening. And for this, we turn to the book of Psalms. We'll be looking at two texts this evening. Psalm 26. Psalm 26, as we begin our service and the meditation before the communion service. Psalm 26. Listen to the text. "Judge me or vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." Here's our text. "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." This first tune-up, as I call it, this first tune-up has to do with a desire for divine inspection. A desire for divine inspection. Here is the psalmist who is going before God and he is asking God to do something on his behalf. He wants God to be a spiritual surgeon. He wants God to penetrate his life and to go deeply within his being and to see if there are any blockages in his life that would affect his relationship with God. One of the things I love to do, I love illustrations, and sometimes I use old ones, sometimes I use new ones. And I'm going to use an old one right at this point, because it fits so beautifully. You've heard it before, I think. You remember several years ago when Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford were running for president of the United States? And while they were debating one night, all of a sudden, the voice went. And here were the two men, if you will, two most powerful men, humanly speaking, on the face of the earth. And these two men stood there on television, CBS, and no sound was coming, of course, out of their mouths as they were speaking. And then, of course, they realized that the sound was something had gone wrong with the transmission. And so they stood there, Jimmy Carter on one hand, Gerald Ford on the other. And they stood there, and they stood there, and they stood there, until finally they had to cancel the debate. They discovered later on that the problem was a little piece of equipment costing no more than $1.50. $1.50 interfered with a debate between the two most powerful men on the face of the earth. Dear friends, sometimes we do not know the cost of the thing that is blocking spiritual victory and spiritual progress. It might be just a little thing. But sometimes for us to discover that thing, what it is and the nature of it, we need to ask God to spiritually investigate our lives. And David did this. He asked God, first of all, to judge him. He was asking God, actually, the whole idea was the psalmist coming through the door of the temple. And he was coming, as he was coming through, he sees the Lord, as it were, standing at the door, giving a pass to each one who comes in. And he says to the Lord, "Lord, you vindicate me that I have the privilege and the right of going into the temple. I want to come into the temple free from anything that would interfere with your process and your progress within my life." And so he comes through the door, and as he sits in the temple, he asks God, "Now will you do spiritual surgery? Examine me." As it were, the psalmist, when he got into the temple, drew a circle, put himself in a circle, and he asked God, as it were, I'll translate, "I want you to do a work in this place this evening, and I want you to do it in the circle where I stand. Examine me." Now, the word examine means to penetrate. It means to go deeply, to search, to put the searchlight on. He's asking God now to be this one who will go into his life and to find anything that would be displeasing to him. I want to ask this evening, dear friends, as we come to the table, do we have the courage to allow God to examine us, to open our hearts before him, and to make us vulnerable to the searchlight of the Spirit so that he is able to see if there is any blockage at all? A friend of mine went to the hospital a few weeks ago. He said it was time for my tune-up. And so he went to see his doctor. And as he got to his doctor said, "I have a bed for you." Because what he found is that one artery to his heart was completely blocked. And he was on the verge of having a tremendous experience had he not been there. You and I, my friends, are concerned, perhaps I am, about the lack of spiritual power in the lives of the people of God. Christians suing Christians. Christians biting at each other. Christians gossiping about each other. Christians condemning one another. And we ask ourselves, why is it we seem to be lacking in spiritual energy? Have we had an examination lately? We are coming to the table of the Lord, and we want to come with this desire. God, you desire truth in my innermost being, and I want you to examine me to see if truth is really there. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 15. "Who shall ascend into thy holy hills? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who has not lifted his soul to vanity, he who speaks the truth in his innermost being." I ask you, friends, to allow God this evening to do some spiritual surgery in your heart, in my heart, in your life, in my life. We stand on the verge of either something terrible or something wonderful. It depends on what happens with the surgery. It depends on what happens with the surgery. Do you remember David? When he had committed that terrible, terrible sin with Bathsheba, he continued to do his spiritual thing as though nothing had happened. And the time came when God sent Nathan to David. And in prophetic language, he spoke to David and he told David a story. David became enraged by the story that Nathan told because of someone doing something as terrible as was described in Nathan's story. And Nathan, with a prophet's eyes and with a stern heart, said to David, "David, you are the man. God has sent me to expose your heart." Not so much to man, because later on in Psalm 51, David could write, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight." This was a personal surgery that David desired. He didn't want God to test somebody else. He didn't want God to test his children. Not God to test his wife. Not God to test the deacons. Not God to test the priest. He wanted God to test him. I want God to work in the circle where I am standing this evening. It was not only a personal testing that he wanted, or a personal surgery. It was also purposefully planned. Listen to what he says in verse 2. "Examine me," or "prove me," or "test me." What David wanted was this. "God, I'm asking you to put your searchlight in my heart. Go very deeply within. And the way you're going to do this is you are going to allow certain things to happen to me, negative as well as other, and what comes out will be what is inside." I'll never forget the first time I started to play golf. Loved the game. I used to play tennis. And, you know, when you play tennis, when you play golf, when you play baseball, they are three different sports. In baseball, you swing that way, you come that way. In tennis, you go that way or that way. In golf, you've got to make sure that you come this way. And so I was, my first game, used to play free of charge when I lived in Lethbridge. Now it's too expensive, I live in Markham. And I'll never forget the first time I took a shot, and I lined up my shot. And I aimed for the pin, which is over there, and the ball went over there. And I'm ashamed to tell you tonight, friends, I cursed myself. I literally cursed myself. I thought, "You stupid..." Golf was supposed to be a game to relax you, I'm told. But you see, what came out was really, friends, what was inside. And what the way that God will prove us, the way that God will bring out what is inside, when we ask God to test us, to examine us, to investigate us, he will allow certain things that will bring out what is inside. He may allow someone to hurt us. He may allow someone to criticize us. He may allow someone to deliberately lie against us. Not because God condones lying. His concern is not about the lie that is being told. His concern is about our response to the lie. "Test me, Lord. I want you to examine my life by allowing anything that will actually bring out what is inside. You desire truth in my deepest part. And if truth is not there, when I'm tested, it's going to be proven. It's going to come out in the wash, if you please." I'm laughing. It's no laughing matter. But my wife and I are team teaching. That's a test for my wife. She's a teacher. And I'm going to tell you, I can really, really say, as we have been planning, I can say with without any inhibitions at all, I am so thankful that I have gotten to the place where I can listen to my wife, where I can listen to her. You know what I mean, men? Sometimes when our wives speak to us, our blood pressure just rises. And vice versa. You see, friends, God puts us in a relationship, especially within the home, and He wants to purify our lives, and when He puts us together, we will grate each other, and only as God examines us, and as only as God tests us, will we be able to understand what is inside of us. Because I will suggest to you something tonight. You don't know yourself like God knows you. I don't know myself like God knows me. And only when He puts me through the testing period, when He examines me, when He proves me, can He actually show me what is inside of me. And what we see is not always beautiful. The desire for spiritual surgery. God, I walk into the temple, says David, and I want to be examined by you. I want to leave my life open to you. I want to get on the table for operation, and I want you to spiritually take your searchlight and to go in and prove me. Bring out what is inside. Are we ready for that? Would we want God to expose us this evening? I want to suggest to you something, dear friends. The exposure of God, or by God, is not to keep us from the table. The exposure by God is to make us know why we need the table. Not to keep us from it. The purpose of it. I want to come into the house of God with a purpose. I want God to prove me. I want God to bring out. I want God to show the stuff I am made of. I want God to remove whatever needs to be removed. The desire for a spiritual investigation. Personal, purposeful. Then we go to the New Testament. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, when we come to this, we have another kind of examination. But nevertheless, one. Look, if you please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge himself rightly. In the first exam, it was a desire from my heart to God for him to examine me. In the second investigation, it is the demand by God for self-examination. Self-examination. Now I am doing it. Now I come to the table. And as I come to the table, I want to begin to judge myself. There are three tests that are necessary as we come to the table. The first test is the test of honesty. The test of honesty. Look at what the apostle says in verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. How does one drink and eat unworthily? There are two very beautiful little thoughts with that word unworthily. The first of them, dear friends, has to do with one being unfit. How can a person be unfit for the Lord's table? That is, the person who has never placed his faith in Jesus Christ and yet takes the cup as though he has or she has. That's the unfit way. To paganly, if you please, take the cup. To drink it as though he believes or she believes, when truly they have never come to the place of trusting Jesus Christ the Savior. That's an unfit manner. If you please, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 13 very quickly. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And to save time, I will read. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you have failed the test? The first test. Has there been a time when I consciously, even if I cannot tell the date or the time or the place, but is there a time when I am conscious of the fact that I am trusting only in Christ for my salvation? I'm not trusting good works. I'm not trusting my pedigree. I'm not trusting anything else, only in Christ. That's the first test. And I don't know, my friends, how many of you would have to make that test tonight before you come to the table. If you are in this place and you have never trusted Christ as Savior where you are at this very moment, you can. You can cry out to God right in your heart of hearts, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and you become a part of God's family by faith. But the second concern of the apostle is not someone who is unfit because of a pagan taking of the cup. The second concern, and here it is someone who takes the cup in a common, irreverent way. That's why I wanted to have a service where people who want to be here are here. Rather than forcing people to take the cup, to look at the clock and to say, when is this going to get over with? That's an unworthy manner. How long is this going to last? That's an unworthy manner. You see, the focus should be upon what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And I would then think about everything else apart from what I'm supposed to be doing here. That's taking the cup in an unworthy manner. Can you imagine, if I may be secular for a moment, can you imagine, friends, someone coming to the altar, a husband and a bride and a groom coming, and while they're walking up the aisle, the groom is eyeing someone else apart from his bride? Can you imagine that? Or perhaps he's concerned about, I don't know any lady who would put up with a man who has his beeper on him while he's getting married. That would be quite dishonoring to her, wouldn't it? She would have to question whether he's really serious about her. But dear friends, have you thought of ways in which we have come to the Lord's table and we have not tested ourselves to see that we have left everything that would interfere with thinking only upon Him? Have we tested ourselves? You knew, many of you knew it was communion tonight. Was there a test before you came in? Are you unfit because you've never trusted Christ? Are you fit, but you're out of shape, irreverently taking the cup? I am so glad that I never used the pulpit to get at people, and I never would. But friends, I think of so often, you know, when you sit up here, you can see things that you don't usually see when you sit up in the front here with people behind you. And I shudder sometimes as I see from here certain who would play and be passing back things during the communion service, not thinking of the Lord. Having a good time in church while the communion is being served, I have seen it. I've seen it. That's the test for honesty. To count as common, the communion. Just one of those things. Secondly, there is the test for integrity. The test for integrity. Let a man examine himself. Here again, in the Old Testament, Psalm 26, it was a circle around me and God to look inside of me. In the New Testament, it is not a circle. It is a commitment to God to then take upon myself the responsibility of being a man or a woman of integrity. I want to tell you, Lord, tonight, as I look in me, Oh God, I am conscious of this. I cannot come to the table without confessing this to you. What the apostle is doing, he asks us, look inside now. Are you courting any sin in your life? Are you at ease with anything that you know dishonors God? Are you able to just come and go without being conscious of how grievous sin is to God? You see, integrity is where I literally look within myself and say, this is not right, not for you, but for me. For me. Integrity is refusing to allow myself to be at ease and intimate with any known sin. Any known sin. And I tell you, friends, I read in Job chapter 1 and verse 1 that Job was a man who turned away from evil. He saw it, and because he was a man of integrity, he turned in the opposite direction. Ah, I said I speak this evening with a heavy heart. Because it isn't easy, my friends, to ask people whether they know as they come to the table that they have passed the test of integrity. Have I passed it? As I prepared my own heart for this message, I cried out to the Lord again and again, oh Lord, let me not prepare a message for people. Let me receive a message from you for your people. So it begins with myself. Integrity. We think of Ananias and Sapphira, who came into the temple knowing that they had actually cahooted with each other to dishonor God. They knew that they were not going to give all, but they pretended that all was given. And they grieved God. They lacked integrity. And so we come to confront ourselves at the table. To say, God, I'm conscious of things that are not right in my life. Whatever that might be, this grieves you. Like my daughter was saying to me again and again, Daddy, something is wrong with the car. And I kept ignoring it. And I almost endangered her life. A lack of integrity, my friends, endangers the ministry of a church. Whether it be from the minister or from the people. The test of integrity. Thirdly, the test of affinity. The test of affinity. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 11. Listen to how the apostle deals with it. Verse 17. But in giving instructions, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. In the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that division exists among you, and in part I believe it. Affinity. In other words, Paul was saying, when you come to the table, test your relationship with one another. Test your relationship with one another. Is there someone in the assembly that I have a grudge against? Is there someone in the assembly that I have something that just bugs me about them? Is there someone in the assembly that I would be extremely careful in saying this? I had a situation in my office this past week, and I said to the person to whom I was talking, I am glad that we have come together to care for this matter. I'll tell you why. Because I would hate to be walking in a shopping mall and see you coming and try to find another direction. Either you from me or me from you. It is possible, friends, and I have heard it, not here. I haven't heard it here. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I haven't heard it. I have heard of churches where people would come in one door because they know that certain people will come through the other door. They don't want to go through that door. Paul says, when you come together, there are divisions among you. And you see, my friends, if the devil can get us, to be critical of one another in any way at all. God has shown this to me so clearly that before I concern myself with the weakness in my brother's life, I must shed a tear for the weakness in my brother's life. I must shed a tear. You see, because relationship is the key to winning men and women to Jesus Christ. And if the devil can get us to have division among us, my friends, he has won the day. He has won the day. To test for affinity. Now, there are strangers in this place this evening, our visiting friends, or new friends, I should say. And I don't want to give the impression that there are difficulties in this church. No, no, my friends, what we're doing, we're having an exam. We're taking care of our spiritual lives. And there's no place to do that like coming to the communion table. I want God to test me. God, I want you to test me for honesty. I have been doing this for 20 years now. Has it become old stuff to me? Lord, I want you to test my integrity. What is my private world like? What is my life at home like? What is my life on the road like? What is my Lord, I want you to test me for integrity. You know, one of the men I enjoy, I still listen to him, is Dr. Charles Stanley. And can you imagine the pain in my heart this week, or last week when I read in Christianity Today that his wife has filed for separate maintenance? Wow. Now, I'm not casting any shadow on Dr. Stanley. I still listen to the man, and he's still pastoring that huge church in Atlanta, Georgia. But here's a man who stands before the television screen every morning, has a tremendous ministry. And oh, friends, I don't know what has gone wrong, but oh, I pray that my integrity will pass the test with God for his sake and for yours. The test of integrity. The test of affinity. As I look on your faces this evening, you know, one of the things I thank God for again and again and again, I don't know if this needs to be said, but I say it. I thank God for the relationship I have with Pastor Hamilton. I thank God we work together, not only as pastors, but as friends. We work together as partners. We work together with one goal. We care for one another's soul. And friends, this is what we need so that the devil will get no beachhead in our ministry. Can you imagine if you could come to me and talk about Pastor Hamilton, the wedge that would bring? Or if you could talk to him about me, the wedge that would bring? Ah, when there's affinity, it means, my friends, that nothing can pass through. When we come to the table, Paul says, test yourself for honesty. Test yourself for integrity. Test yourself for affinity. He says, I have read, I have been told that when you come together, there is division and you come together for the worse. Harmful is all. That's the word. When you come together that way, you are harming one another. Oh, dear friends, Jesus said, as in his high priestly prayer, I pray that they might be one, even as we are one. See, you can't divide one. That the world may know. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to take the test right now. I will not investigate you. You will not investigate me. But we will investigate ourselves before God. Honesty. The test of honesty. Have I trusted Christ as Savior? Am I trusting in Him for my salvation? Am I in the faith? I can take the communion tonight because I am in the faith. The test of honesty. Am I irreverent? Has the communion become a commonplace to me? Take the test, friends. Take the test. test of integrity. The test of integrity. Have I become so familiar with sin that I can court it in my own life? No matter how big or how small. Integrity. Take the test, friends. I am taking it. The test of affinity. What about our relationship with one another? As believers, is there someone that I have something against that obstructs my view of God? Take the test of affinity. I'm going to ask you, dear friends, to spend some moments in prayer before we come to the table. It might be that you have the freedom not to tell us anything, but to pray publicly. You might want to pray tonight publicly. I'm not asking you to go down into your own private world and tell us anything that's wrong with you. That's not what I'm asking. But that we might express our desire to God this evening. We won't take a lot of time. If there's no one, we will go on with the service. But I am going to ask you, if you so desire, as we spend the next few moments in prayer, that you pray publicly if you have the freedom to do so.